but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Michael Jordan's going to step into the broadcast booth as part of the NBA on NBC coverage beginning next basketball season. We watched Tom Brady do this for Fox, and so maybe there's a blueprint for guys to make the transition from generational superstar to the broadcast booth. Or maybe this is just about getting Michael Jordan into the broadcast booth and bringing some eyeballs to the product. I'm looking for insight from Michael Jordan that is authentic. I'd like for him to spill the tea, so to speak. Get real with his conversation. I want like documentary style insight. I'm not sure I'm going to get it.
My parents. My father worked at General Electric for years. He was trying to provide for his family. He moved all over, southern North Carolina. My mom worked for a bank. She worked for Corning Glass. I mean, they were hardworking people. And they instilled that in not just me, but my brothers and sisters. So, I mean, and I just lived vicariously through them and lived and learned it from them. And, it just became a part of my nature, And I always look at a negative and turn it into a positive. Fortunately, things like that happens in our life. And as I try to teach my kid, just take that negative, learn from it, and turn it into a positive. And that all came from my parents.
I want to hear some of that type of insight from Michael Jordan. What will we get? I want to turn to our broadcast pal, national broadcast pal, John Strong, Fox Sports lead soccer play-by-play announcer. He's called the World Cup, the U.S. men's national team, Major League Soccer. He also, once upon a time, sat in the seat that Stephen Vaughn is now sitting in. John Strong, the voice of American soccer, joining us now. How are you?
How come you never mentioned the dog show? Because there are definitely people that know me from the dog show more than even from the World Cup.
I did mention the dog show earlier in the show. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
And I said the guy from the dog show might be coming on later. So there you go. You are that guy. Do you get, like, your kids are probably more impressed with that than, like, World Cup. But I know the bigger deal.
I don't think my kids are impressed with anything I do professionally. I think they're impressed when I say yes to their requests around the house.
I know. There you go. We're just here. We're living. We're just trying to breathe. Hey, let me ask you this, because I want to get inside broadcasting a little bit. Tom Brady's first season, I thought he got better. I still was a little frustrated because I wanted real stories, and I don't know where we're going to ever get that from somebody who's as polished and PR conscious as Tom Brady is. Michael Jordan now signing on with NBC. What do you make of kind of the trend of this, first of all, and Brady's first year and maybe Jordan's expectations?
Well, I think they're two very, very different things. So I was looking it up of, okay, did I miss something today from what was announced last week? Yeah. And I think the only thing that's kind of rolled the ball forward is Mike Tirico's interview on Dan Patrick, where he kind of talked about, like, here's how I would use him.
Yeah.
But I don't, unless I've missed something, I don't think it's anything more from NBC. He's a special contributor, correct?
Right, correct.
So that to me is very good PR from NBC. But I have sort of low expectations, and not in a bad way. I just have low expectations of what that's really going to mean. I think NBC has done a phenomenal job of leveraging the sort of nostalgia for their NBC or for their NBA coverage in the 90s and early 2000s into building excitement and anticipation for them picking up NBA coverage again starting next season. They have hit every single note, and being able to at the upfronts, which is sort of an annual tradition in the spring very, very old-fashioned. It's a relic of a prior age, but it's all the different TV networks would sell to advertisers and ad buyers. Here's what's coming up on our upcoming TV season schedule. So for them to be able at that to drop, hey, Michael Jordan's going to be a part of our NBA coverage, you know, because he's the white whale. Beyond his place in the game, the fact that Jordan has been so non-involved on the media side, sort of unique amongst major, you know, former players of any sport, that's big. What that actually turns into, I have pretty low expectations of, not the quality of his work, but the quantity. Michael Jordan is not just going to be showing up on a weekly basis in the studio. You know, he's going to do kind of what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And honestly, that's really all NBC needs. Just a couple of times a year when they can tease Michael Jordan's a part of our coverage tonight. Everyone tunes in, you know, whatever he does or does not choose to say, I think works pretty effectively. You know, Tom Brady's thing was very different because he signed up to be a game caller and to be there every single week and to be the lead game caller. So the amount of work that goes into that, the amount of exposure that's in that, is a very, very different thing. But I think it absolutely speaks to, you know, the power of these former players and how valuable their insight is and how much electricity comes with their names. I mean, I experienced that plenty, that I'm well aware of the fact that the ex-athlete next to me in the booth or next to me on the desk is way more interesting and will get people's attention far more easily than, you know, me as the journalism nerd, non-athlete, who it sort of comes to it as a broadcaster. When you start talking about the Jordans and the Tom Bradys and guys at that level, it's a different stratosphere. So it's great PR for NBC, but it's a very, very different deal than what Tom Brady signed up for.
Do you think Brady essentially walks so Jordan can run? I mean, does he open that door, or are these things completely independent of each other?
I have a hunch they're completely independent, because I don't think Michael Jordan gives a darn what Tom Brady does or doesn't do. Jordan's doing his own thing. I think it absolutely put if the idea wasn't already there, I think it put the idea in NBC's head. You know, hey, can we get this guy to be a part? And I'm sure it was already, you know, somewhat in their plans. The fact that they were able to get him to commit to, hey, can we announce you as a special contributor, I think is a huge win. The Tom Brady one is interesting because, you know, this is a guy that thought he was done playing and then wasn't done playing, and then he really was done, but clearly has an addictive personality. I mean that in a good way, to football. You know, can't give it up. And so wants to be in the booth, wants to be at the game, wants it in his blood every single week. Michael Jordan's been retired for years, and he's been very non-engaged with the sport in a lot of ways for years. Yeah, he was involved in the ownership group with the Hornets, but you know, it's been a very different deal. So it's interesting to me that Jordan, after all these years, is like, yeah, okay, I'll sort of dip my toe back in. And who knows, maybe he does it a little bit, and he loves it, and he's really into it. But I also think, you know, Michael Jordan he's built differently than anyone else. That's part of what made him great. His post-retirement life has been very differently structured than anyone else. You could argue, if anything, he might be somewhat more knowledgeable about NASCAR than the NBA at the moment because of how engaged and involved he's been, to the point of, you know, going to court and lawsuits with his racing team and NASCAR with the issue they've had with the charters. So that, I think, will be part of it, is like, if you're going to do this, you have to grind. You have to put the same level of work in as you did as a player, studying game film, being engaged with the really granular stuff. And if you have that in you, and if you're a Tom Brady and you're sort of an obsessive preparation type person, it's going to work very well. If that's not really what you want to do, it's going to be a struggle. I do think that's part of why we're seeing diminishing returns a little bit with inside the NBA, beyond sort of the zeitgeist that it continues to have. If you really listen and parse it out, how much are Shaq and Charles really watching? There have been a number of mistakes this season of like stuff where they just don't quite know. If you're going to do it, you have to do it all the way. And if you're a Michael Jordan, you don't really want to do it all the way, then yeah, you kind of parachute in from time to time, which is somewhat more what my expectation would be from him. And that's totally fine.
How much coaching does a Tom Brady get being in the role he is? How much coaching do you think Jordan will get?
Tom Brady gets a ton. And that's everything that I have heard, is how engaged he is in the process, how much he wants to learn, how much he wants to grow. I've honestly, more often, the perception sometimes, and I think the trap that we fall into in sports media is treating the ex-athletes as stars in the way that it's like, don't upset them, don't say anything negative. The vast majority of these men and women have spent their whole lives being coached, have spent their whole lives being called out in film rooms, have spent their whole lives being much more witheringly self-critical than anyone else outside could be. So if anything, I've heard a different, like Troy Aikman's talked about this over the years of like, I wish I got more heavy coaching. That was how I spent my whole life as an athlete. I want to get better. And I think Tom Brady absolutely has embraced that idea of how can I get better? Because he wants to be the best. And the only way to be the best at anything is by having a real attention to detail in the work. That's part of why he got better over the course of the year. Again, for Michael Jordan, how much does he really want NBC's producers or more likely the top bosses in his ear on like, hey, we didn't like this. Can you do this differently? Again, that's hard to say because this is a dude that is clearly built in a different way. But I think that's what it comes back to. What does Michael Jordan want this to be? How much does he want to put into it? And there's no right or wrong answer. And within that, you know, does he start to get the old competitive instincts in him where it's like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be the unquestionable best at it? Because I do think that's the attitude that Tom Brady has brought to the job. And I do think that's the attitude you have to have to be good at something, which is, yes, related to the knowledge you gleaned as a player, but is entirely different than what you did as a player. The ones that figure out that their playing career only really means so much when they step into a broadcast booth or onto a studio set, those are the ones that have success.
John Strong with us, Fox broadcaster on soccer. Also, you can catch him on The Dog Show. John Strong, he also likes green M&Ms. Look at Strong. You come into the TV world from originally being in the radio world. And if we go back to like Lake Oswego High School, you're launching the radio station, the student radio arm at Lake Oswego, and then on to the University of Oregon. Where did you get kind of the television comfort, and how much coaching were you getting in the TV world when you first started?
Well, there's two answers to that, because part of it is when I call a game on television, I'm really not doing television. I'm doing radio, really, because you don't see my face. All you're doing is hearing my voice. So the skill set that I picked up in radio is the same thing I'm doing in television. I'm doing less of it. I'm sort of tailoring my words for the fact that you have the pictures in your home. But the actual skill set itself is the same. The television piece of it is when I'm hosting in the studio or when I'm in a situation where we are on camera from the booth. A lot of that honestly came from the University of Oregon. And that was the more hands-on training I got, not in sports as much. It was hands-on training on how to be a news anchor. That was my TV experience until I started getting more opportunities. What would that have been? 2 years after graduation? No, 3 years after graduation was when I got my first TV opportunity with the Timbers. And even then it was in little bits and pieces. So it was mainly the hands-on training to be a news anchor at the University of Oregon that taught me the skills that I then use now on the occasions when I fill in as a studio host. But they're two very, very different things. They are different skill sets. And a lot of that comes back down to, you know, am I acting in the sense that you're seeing me on screen? So what I do with my face, what I do with my hands, what I do with my body language is very relevant. When I'm calling a game, you don't see me. And so it's much more about how I use my voice. And that comes from those years on radio.
John Strong with us. The future of broadcasting, there's been a lot of talk about radio and you know, radio becoming less important as a play-by-play element. Where do you stand on that as you watch, you know, college teams, pro teams, more television, more emphasis on TV, of course, mobile devices in hands? Where do you fall on that when you talk to young broadcasters or maybe talk to people who are just curious about the industry?
I mean, it makes me sad. Like I'm of the generation that was the tail end of growing up actually listening to games on the radio. That's how I fell in love with it in the first place, was listening to the Blazers on the radio because they were on pay-per-view, Blazer cable. So the ability to watch the Blazers on TV was pretty limited. You know, and I grew up like reading a newspaper in the morning and wanting to listen to the news on the radio first thing in the morning and some of that stuff. So, yeah, my children and even people that are in their 30s and younger, they don't necessarily have that same nostalgia for it. They don't have that same care for it. So I think it's like a lot of things. We can hold on all we want to the stuff that makes us happy and makes us warm and fuzzy, or we can kind of wise up to the reality of the changing nature of it. Now, I do still think, I absolutely believe that radio still has a place. I absolutely believe that radio, local radio, is still vitally important. But it's the same as podcasting. And I do think even though vodcasting, the video part of podcast, that's growing rapidly, we're still always going to find ourselves, until everyone has a self-driving car, we're still going to find ourselves in situations where we have to consume content by listening only. There's still going to be a place for it, even if the delivery mechanism is different. And I think it's the same thing that, you know, as television, linear, over-the-air, bunny-ear television transforms to more streaming, a lot of it does stay the same at the end of the day. And that's what I talk about with students is, yeah, the fundamentals don't change. The method of delivery changes, and the expectations of the audience might change, but your ability to communicate, your ability to tell a story, your ability to deliver information to someone that is not fully paying attention. That was one of the key lessons I learned somewhere after my freshman year when I had an internship at KXL Radio. And it's applicable right now. 95% of the people listening to me right now are not giving me their full attention. You're driving in your car. You're at the office still late in the day. Yeah. You're putting around in the garage. We don't sit there and like fully listen to the radio. And that's applicable on television.
Amen.
When people are watching a game, you're not fully, the kids are running around, or you're on your phone, or you're talking to your buddies, you're at the bar.
You're the best.
So,
man.
Being able to focus on understanding that and delivering information and delivering a message and getting people's attention, that doesn't change. And so the ones that are good at that will be successful into the future.
I appreciate you, my friend. We'll get you the green M&Ms, and thanks for joining us. John Strong, voice of American soccer on Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. Stick around.